Hello, hello. You're listening to a rogue edition of Is Good on killradio.org. My guest today is the band Rademacher. We're going to start by playing a track from their CD Stunts, and then we're going to get into some live music and some interviews. So stick around. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Rademacher, all channels up. Hey guys, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's been fun so far.
So far, so good. So far, it's worth the drive. How many times in the last, I don't know, like year or so, have you guys driven down from Fresno to LA?
About
200.
200 probably.
200 wow. Or 1,000, somewhere. If you take the median of the two.
There's been several weekends where we've gone like, made the drive up and back like multiple times within like 3 days.
Oh my goodness. So,
like, yeah. So like, yeah, it's a lot. Yeah. So like probably like, I can think of weekends where we've done it like 4 or 5 times.
Has it gotten easier? Are you guys just like used to it now, or every time it's like, oh God, we got to get in the car again?
Well, you see the same stretch of road over and over again. And I mean, in a sense, it gets easier that you're in the fact that you're used to it, but it gets more boring. I mean, I've seen the same abortion signs over and over and over again on the 99, and you know, there's a point at which I start rethinking my moral mindset. I don't know what to believe anymore. But I've seen the signs.
This is such a strange place to sell abortions, but they put those ads up everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I mean, you're just thinking like, there's got to be some girl pregnant driving down the highway is just like looking at the sign, like. You know, I never thought of it like that. It rhymes, and so therefore it makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah. You know?
Why don't we go around the room and tell me like who you are and what you bring to Rademacher.
All right, yeah. I'm Malcolm Sosa, and I play guitar and sing. So.
I'm Brad. I play guitar, and I bring a sense of urgency to the band.
I'm Eli, and I guess I bring the loudness because I'm the drummer.
And I'm Greer, and I play bass.
All right. So how much of this is sort of Malcolm and his band, and how much of it is a collaborative process? Like, is there one person who's at the front and center of the creation of the music, or do you guys sort of get together and come up with the Rademacher sound?
Well, we had, like, I think Brad explained it best, and we were, like, in the interview we did last time. Do you remember that?
Like, oh, are you talking about the Little
the
People?
The video podcast thing.
The Little People?
Yeah, the Little People.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't really something we kind of swore that we wouldn't bring this up very much, but it's most of it's not us. We kind of pass it off as, you know, we're at our, you know, it's all original and whatever, but we have a team of that's so correct. What's a PC term? Dwarves? I don't know, little people, whatever. Handling everything from the writing of the words to the music to the choreography that you see on stage. It's crazy, but you know, I'm not gonna take credit for what other littler people do.
Well, it's good that you don't take credit for that. Do you ever get frustrated that they're not writing the material that you want to play? Is have you ever like just grabbed one of them and I don't know, rolled them down an alley?
Ooh,
at some pins?
I haven't thought of it. I could. No.
Did I just lose the Little People audience? Because I lost the abortion audience at the beginning of the interview.
Yeah, and the two, it's weird. They don't really cross over very much. So.
Except on this program.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Really? That's a weird demographic you have.
Indie
there.
Music, abortion, and midgets. That's really the core, the crux of Is Good on KillRadio.org.
And that's why you guys have been so successful for so long.
For so long, yes.
Yeah.
Well, okay, on that note, maybe we'll get into a little more depth on the Rademacher sound after, or maybe not. After doing a live song, you ready to jump into one? Malcolm, you're just going to do a solo thing.
Yeah, I'll
just do
a solo thing. This is one that that Brad's friend, Little People, just turned out the other day.
All right, whenever you're ready.
All right, I'll try it. We're going to go with the easy ones. I got 3,000 MySpace friends and sofas to crash on. From here to New York, and the adventures just continue. We all choose our own. You pay back that loan, though you got nothing to show for it. You still gotta go for it. Hoping someone follows you home. Well, tacos and mariscos and dollar stores, they've even got a laundromat. Let's cash a check then come back, 'cause we're swinging for the fences, man. Fences at all, it means we got a long way to fall. The kitchens are closing down at the last strip mall, and the sun rises on some yard sale, and it sets in a pool, and the neighbors are calling. Yes, they're calling to you. Car wash, donations, car
You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is the band Rademacher. So when these midgets, dwarfs, whatever you want to call them, were writing these songs, there's a lot of sort of pop culture reference, like in that last one. Are there any sort of similar themes you find yourself coming back to in the writing of the music?
Well, I think a lot of the themes that come up in Rademacher are like displacement, loneliness, like sense of community or sense of feeling outside the community. There's lots of like things that, like, it's a lot of the songs tend to be about where we come from, which for the most part is Fresno. But I mean, like, you know, in my space, we have three hometowns. There's a lot of like LA, I think, in the songs too. There's a lot of songs that kind of end up being about kind of the circumstances of playing music in this town and also, like, you know, in our town and just in general. I mean, it's kind of a universal musician, I guess. Musicians' songs about musicians or playing mm-hmm. music or traveling or.
But did you, when you started playing, we started as a band, it was just based in Fresno, and you guys feel like that wasn't enough and you started to come to LA more? Or how did that happen? How did you end up being like this LA band based in Fresno?
The first show we played in LA was Mr. T's Bowl. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it was. No, actually, the first show was at Sea Level Records. It's Todd.
Oh, right.
Todd gave us a show there for our first EP that we put out called Rademacher. And then so we played there with like their little Fender PA system, and like there was like three people, and none of them were, oh, there was like four little girls who were dancing, and we sold them the record, and then I forgot to tell them there's a bunch of swear words on it.
It's really easy to upsell little girls. I mean that in the least dirty way possible. So then
since then, I don't think we've used any swear words in any of the songs we've like recorded, because I felt really guilty about that.
Yeah, Mike actually yelled something out at one point, and this little girl just burst into tears, crying, and I just felt like he was an asshole.
No, but we thought we'd get out of town, try and travel, and like, because we kind of reached, like, you know, it's Fresno has like somewhat of a ceiling in terms of like, you know, the what you can accomplish, mm-hmm. you know, musically in terms of like. You know, just getting to play with other bands who are actually, in a lot of cases, like, better or doing something that you wish you were doing. You know, doing, you know, bands that are, like, really living or doing, like, going that kind of path as a musician that you would ideally see yourself.
Like later career down bands the road. That yeah. are in, just in it for a little bit, but yeah, just like the long
people,
haul.
Yeah, the people you admire, like, Early Mart was a big influence, and they are here, and the lead singer, Aaron's from Fresno. So, like, I kind of grew up, like, watching that band. And so I definitely wanted to try and, like, take part in what they're doing and try and figure out how they did what they were doing, mm-hmm. kind of, you know? That sort of stuff. And our first show out of town was in Bakersfield, which wasn't that far from Fresno. But that was like one of the most amazing shows.
It was San Luis.
Oh, it was San Luis? Yeah. Our second show was in Bakersfield.
Right,
then.
Right. And that was
that the strip mall?
Yeah, we played in a mall in the food court where they actually sold everything from like snow cones to tequila shots.
To grills. to grills,
gold grills.
Oh, wow.
And we played with this kind of like death emo rock band that literally had you know, upside down crosses painted underneath their eyelids, and we got on stage and we looked out, and when we started playing, I've never seen so many people so confused and disturbed by anything I've ever done personally. And you know, that was like, could have been the make it or break it point. We're like, oh man, you know, like, maybe we should keep it in Fresno. But we realized we were in Bakersfield, and that was very comforting, because Bakersfield is different.
And that's changed a lot for you guys. I mean, you know, if I look at your average playbill in LA, it's like, you know, three or four bands that I've interviewed, and Rademacher. Like, you guys are playing out a lot. Has that sort of, you know, allying yourself with a lot of these cool indie bands that sort of reflect what you were saying before, yeah. about, you know, doing the kind of going down the kind of path that you want to go in, has that changed your music in any way, your approach to the music?
I think so. I think like there's a lot of like bands in LA that can put on like really cool shows, and like they have like the good songs or like whatever stage presence, or they just have like something about them that makes you like just excited to watch and be there. And so like I at least I try and like watch them and enjoy it, and then also be like, what are they doing that like I could do as well, if not better? Or like, what are the things mm-hmm. about this act that I just really like, and like try and like nail down what it is that makes them so good, and then try and like steal that essence, steal their souls, really.
Well, we were fortunate enough too to find a lot of bands from LA who are, aside from being just really good folks, were just really awesome too. I mean, and then when we go and play a bunch of shows with them, it's more fun, because I mean, you're playing with a band that you like. You don't want to just, you know, go and wait for your set and then play it. You know, you want to stick around and hang out and then watch your friends play. And it was a really awesome thing. Like, we met so many awesome people, great bands. So I think we were fortunate enough to kind of fall into that situation where we happened to just stumble upon these bands who turned out to be really good friends, too.
It's interesting. A lot of venues seem to overlook the fact that the bands who are playing are also hanging out at the club that night, you know, that they should also be able to enjoy the music because they're going to be buying beer and telling their friends about the club. And
right, the drink
that.
Tickets are going to run out at some point.
At some point, the drink tickets are going to run out. Exactly. That sort of, that one ticket they give each member is just to get you going.
Yeah, mine usually like run out after what, like 10 minutes of walking in the door?
Exactly. All right, well, let's listen to another track from the CD. And what do you recommend?
What about track number 2? I think it's called Not My Home.
Cool. And this is this one is out there now, right?
It's like, yeah, this available. Is out. It's available for sale on our website and on our MySpace.
And what is that website?
RadRadRad.com.
All right. You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. This is Rademacher. Stick around.
What if we all drove sports cars and lived in amusement parks and we always did right and we never did wrong? If every song was only 3 minutes long, what if we stopped wearing underwear and gave up trying to comb our hair and we stopped going to work and we just went to the movies every day? When was the last time we went to the movies anyway? Well, I'm not very good at relationships. And I'm not even very good at sex. I'm one great big dysfunctional mess. And messes don't get cleaned up by themselves.
Back on Is Good on KillRadio.org, hanging out with Rademacher, who are my guests today, from Fresno / LA / San Francisco / wherever you're going to go next. Tell me about how this whole thing started, you know, midgets notwithstanding. Did it start with one person, a guy and a guitar, who then added layers and became a band, or did you guys all hang out together and say, let's start a band?
Well, I think I'm the only surviving original member of the band. But we had me and my friends, some friends from high school. Like, there was a show. I was like working for a website and we were doing like a concert festival thing in the summer, and Brad was actually filming it. And then
I was getting my appendix out.
Yeah, well, you didn't film that one, but you filmed the other ones that summer.
I'm just trying to gain sympathy here. So.
So we were planning the show, and then we couldn't find an act for the last date of the thing. And so we were like, oh, let's make up a band. And then so we made up this band like the week before the show, and it was fun. And then I kept wanting to do it, but then the other guys were kind of like busy, had other things, had other bands and stuff like that. And then so then Brad started playing, me and Brad started playing, and then we got two other people to play bass and drums, and then they started another band, and then we got Greer and this other girl Becky, and then Becky went back to college, and then we got this other guy named James to drum for a while, and then we got this other guy, and then we got this other guy, and then Eli joined the
band.
And
then
band.
We got Becky back again.
Yeah, we got Becky back.
We actually went through a slew of about 9 different drummers.
Yeah, am I 9 or 10?
Yeah, I think you're 10. You're
it does seem like drummer. The rhythm section of your average indie band goes through about 10 to 20 different changes before they settle on the band. You think this is probably the one that'll stick? This is the formation of Rademachers is meant to be?
I hope so. That's up to you, buddy.
Well,
as
the people who have come in and out of the band a few times, tell me about, you know, I assume you guys all played in other bands before this. What is it that you do in Rademacher? Maybe that's a little bit different from what you've done in other bands.
It's definitely a different style. I mean, I'm in another band currently right now as well, and it's definitely two different styles. Actually, Brad and I played in a band a few years ago together. So, I mean, he and I kind of go way back.
Called Montecore. I'm going to just drop that on the internet here.
M-O-N-T.
Yeah, no, seriously, it was an awesome band. That was in my. I actually I played guitar in that too, and I sang a little bit more. There was kind of two guys that sang, and we had everything from a 55-60-year-old drummer to two different raging
again?
Drunks.
Tony. We have to talk about him.
Yeah, that was the last band I was in. Eli was in it for a while until he went into the hospital.
You guys spend a lot of time in the hospital.
You're a sickly sort.
just like the medications.
It's a good time.
Now tell me about the bass. I mean, there's some bands, it's sort of like the bass is just like, well, every band needs a bass player, and they're just kind of in the background. Then there's other bands that kind of encourage the bass to be more of an active participant where you can really hear it in the music. How do you feel about your participation in Rademacher?
Well, it's my first band was Rademacher, so it was when Mike and Brad were in the band, and they asked me, like, hey, we just lost our bass player, do you play bass? And I was like, I have a bass, and I've played it before, so yeah. And then
she's being modest.
Well, all right, and then, yeah, and then I guess
why don't you tell the whole story, Greer?
But you're saying like you sort of developed your style of bass playing
definitely.
Within the Rademacher.
Yeah, I didn't have like a previous band that was like, oh, I only play hardcore, and now I'm in Rademacher, and like I'd need to like relearn how to play like this Malcolm indie rock. But it was just like, this is how you play bass.
She used to have spiky hair in high school back then. You were in a band then. I've seen pictures. It was just like spiked up and colored.
That's
and
the sound of one hand giving you the bird.
Hey, I'm sorry, but you know.
And you come from a musical family, don't you, Greer?
I do.
You want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, care to elaborate?
Yeah, my mom worked for a lot of record labels, and my dad was a musician. He played woodwinds.
Played with toured with Zappa.
Who did he play with?
What else?
Zappa and James Brown and the Meters and lots of others.
Real cool guy.
B.B. King.
Really cool guy.
Yeah.
Do you guys like playing live or recording more? Do you have a preference, or are they just two completely different animals?
I like both. I like playing live because it's like, at least if you don't drink, you're up there and you're kind of executing like these songs really well, and you feel really good, and you walk off with this really big like runner's high, and you're sweaty, and like if it's a good show, you feel really good. And then recording's cool too, because you kind of just get to like chill out with your friends. It's like the best, my favorite like Sunday thing to do is to record, you know, get started early in the morning with some coffee and like
chase it with some afternoon cheap beer.
Yeah, so like Miller High Life.
That's the champagne of beers.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And then just record all day, and then when it gets to night, you get some food, and then like you go back and you listen to stuff and like you goof around. But then that's kind of fun. It's a great day, you know, and then you go
right
to bed and do it again. So that's kind of a fun, different kind of day, but it's more like a work day. It's like an 8-hour thing. Show is like a lot of just sitting. Well, recording's a lot of sitting too, but at least there's no pressure to like, no one's going to talk to you or anything like that.
Well, I've noticed that sometimes it's like a band will be really into the recording process and then do the live gig sort of because they have to, because that's how they build their audience and that's how they sell their CDs. And then the other kind of band that it's like they love playing live and they make a CD because they have to have something to sell. But it sounds like you guys get like a lot out of both of those things.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. I mean, both parts are, like Mike said, it's really fun.
Yeah, I mean, we all book shows too. So like we're used to, like at least I'm used to being like in clubs till two in the morning, watching bands, like even if I'm not playing, like, and I love that. I love just doing that. That's kind of fun too. Not every day. Sometimes I hate it, but most of the time I really love it. So that's a great thing. And then recording is just like, it's fun to be in a studio, especially if you're with someone who knows a lot about what they're doing, who's a real expert, and you just get to watch somebody who's really good work and make your stuff sound really good. And that's like, wow, I didn't know I could, that it sounded like that, or that it could.
Well, and that gives you the sort of motivation you need for the next song that you write, because you know it could come out well.
Yeah.
You want to do another live song?
Yeah, I can. I have one. We'll do one. This is like, I've been feeling kind of like all folksy country sort of stuff, and it's easy to play, so I'm not too afraid I'm gonna mess it up.
What's it called?
This one's called "Don't Need Nobody," and it's kind of like a blues, but not really, like a folky blues, I guess.
All right, go for it.
To tell you no, you don't need nobody to tell you so. You don't need nobody, so baby, let them go. You don't need nobody, so let them go. And when the wind comes running through the trees, and I'm locked outside, forgot my keys, I'll just sleep under the car, don't worry about me. I'll just sleep under the car, don't worry about me. And this life starts off like a four-bar melody, simple, brave, and true, and always in key. But things can get real strange when they start to rearrange. You hit that change, and suddenly you're free. Oh, suddenly you're free. And you don't need nobody to tell you no. You don't need nobody to tell you so. You don't need nobody, so baby, let them go. You don't need nobody, so baby, let them all go.
You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is Rademacher. Malcolm, what came for you first, playing guitar or singing?
Definitely singing. I remember, like, oh, man. I played, like, instruments growing up, but I definitely started singing. I was, like, trying to impress a girl in high school, so I tried out for the school musical, which I think of that year was Guys and Dolls, and I totally sweated it for, like...
I saw that. That was the only show I saw. We went to the same high school, so let us reminisce for a second. But I saw that, and I saw him in it.
Did he impress?
Impressed me.
And I remember the auditions, just totally sweating it and being like, oh man, and like going home and just like practicing like every day, like for hours and hours and hours.
Let me ask you a question. What was your character?
I played like something like a horse or something. Like
Harry the horse.
Like Harry the horse or something.
Harry the horse, right.
Did you impress the girl?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We dated for like 2 years after that.
That's good.
So I think I did a good job. And then, but I totally remember sweating that. And then, like, I think, like senior year of high school, I started like hanging out with these weird kids. We decided we would start like some kind of like we wanted to just do the talent show. We wanted to do like the big talent show, and we came up with a song called "Counting to 10," where like it was just clapping, and this one other dude played recorder, someone else played mandolin, and there was like 8 guitar players. So like, and it was 2 chords. So I was like, it's my chance. And then they put me on bass. And, like, I just played 2 notes, and I couldn't do it. But the show went pretty well, regardless. And then I started playing guitar, like, in college.
What for you guys is, like, makes for a really good show? Do you gauge it just on sort of audience reaction, or how well you think you performed, or the sound quality, or what?
I think, I don't know, like, for me, if I perform better if the audience is into it. I wish it wasn't so teetering on that, but, I mean... If the audience is really into it, I'm more into it, And then I feel like I've played better, and even if I flub something here or there, I feel a little better about it. In the
it's like sex.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if like the audience falls asleep, I always feel like I perform better when
the other party's paying attention.
Right, like cause if the audience gets pregnant afterwards, then
maybe something good happens.
Yeah.
No, you're definitely right. It is like a give and take, and I don't know, like, I don't know. It is pretty much like give and take, because I mean, like, especially the way I play. It's very physical, so I mean, it does kind of like almost require some sort of participation just to kind of exchange energy, I guess you could say, with people.
Well, and you stare at our asses for the most part of the show just because of your location.
Yeah.
So there's something about the way we end up moving on stage, it has to just, in the end, affect your playing and somehow, right?
Oh, definitely. It makes it better.
Right.
Definitely all the time.
Sometimes, I mean, I can hear the rhythm section slowing down a bit. I just hike my pants up a bit, give them a little taste of what's there, and it's just like, everything's just...
it's like Popeye when you eat spinach or something.
What makes for...
I think, like, yeah, for me, like, for a good show, it's like, there's two things that should, like, no one should die, nothing should break, and then, like, if it's a really good show, that's a good show, and then a really good show is if someone you don't know gives you a hug afterwards, because then you know you did something kind of like, aw.
Combine them all and just say, no one should break.
Yeah.
What about a bad show? Like, halfway through the show, you all kind of look at each other on stage and go, this one is not working
that's
out
never
in our
happened.
Favor. That never happens?
No, yeah. Yes.
Like, what makes for a bad show? Is it just when you get the audience isn't feeling
you know what,
it?
Like, it's a mixture of, like, for me, it's technical things. Like, I mean, I've gotten so fast at changing strings when I break a string. I mean, it's really, if there was a competition for it, I would clean up. So, there'll be, like, guitars breaking. I mean, we had a show where I broke two or three strings throughout the course of a 30-minute set.
Wow.
Mike's guitar broke, to where he had to finish out the song, the whole set, without a guitar. Eli's lost his sticks. It's just, I mean, that kind of just drags you down a bit when things are going so wrong and there's nothing you can do about it. You know, it's not your performance, it's just like...
See, I don't mind that. I kind of like that. What frustrates me is when, like, usually it's like, cause like, I just like don't know what's going on. Like, I feel like I'm semi unconscious, like, or I just don't feel totally aware of what I'm doing.
Well, we did have a really bad show earlier this week, but I don't know. For me, that involves me.
Is that cause you were vomiting?
Yeah. It involves me vomiting and not being drunk before we actually play. I mean, that's a bad show for me.
But if he's drunk and vomiting, that's a good show.
That's perfect. I mean, I'd do that more.
Which brings us to gas station burritos and why no one ever. I had again. One once while in Sacramento, Roseville to be specific. And
describe it for us, Brad, please.
Well,
this is the stuff that Kill Radio
we were playing our second to last song, and there was a rumbling going on. And just to save you the details. There was a bathroom downstairs separated from the main bathroom upstairs that I was so grateful for because there was nobody in there and probably no one in there for a long time after. Because of a burrito at Arco, and I'll say that. Arco.
You don't buy
AM PM. Don't even... Where was your burrito from that got you sick?
Shell.
Yeah. There's something about... Brody.
Well, I want to thank you for giving us such insight into Rademacher's music.
I was talking about pooping.
On this very special edition of Is Good. what are these cool like handmade EPs that I have here?
Those are cool handmade EPs.
Oh, sweet.
They're from Fresno, California. They're actually grown there. In the fields next to the raisins.
You just pluck them out. It's like, oh, another indie band.
Yeah, exactly. And we made those like a couple. Some of those are older, and some of them are newer. Like between like 2003 or four, and now I think the first one was like 2004. So then we did like three little EPs before we cut this like full length record, which is good. And so we have all these records to just give away to radio people.
Do you guys make a lot of music? Does it just constantly keep coming? Are you always writing song after song, or do you do like a bunch and then take a break? And
it seems like it's usually like kind of both. Like we'll like put together stuff and then we'll like put it on the shelf because we have to like go like do some other crap, and then we'll come back to it, or we won't because we'll be like that sucked. We'll move on, or just like put it on the back burner. There's always like stuff because we've been kind of lucky in that most of the time we've been together, either Brad or I have been part of like a recording studio, so we've always had like room to record and to like jot everything down, kind of at least cut demos of everything we've been doing, and then we can also put together sometimes like some cool stuff. So we've just kind of been lucky in that respect that we haven't really had to let too many songs go. At the same time, we don't have enough time in the day to like work it out all together, you know.
For example, songs will be titled the new song or the new song or the
new song.
Right.
All right, let's listen to one of these new songs or not so new songs. What do you recommend?
Track five.
You want to listen to that one?
Yeah.
How many more do we get to play? Because I want to listen to the last song.
We'll listen to at least two more.
All right. Cool. Yeah, we can do track five. All right.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Rademacher. That's myspace.com/RADEMACHER. And what was the website again?
Radradrad.com.
Awesome. You're listening to Is Good, killradio.org. Stick around. Thank you. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Der Rademacher. We're trying that out for size. We don't know if we're going to stick with it or not. What are some, you know, you're talking about sort of following a path of indie musicians that you admire and going in a direction with your music. What are some directions you would rather not go in that you sort of see people going in and go, we should avoid doing that. That's not very Rademacher
like
of us.
I had like a conversation with Kevin Bronson the other day about like just some stuff, like just like in general, like music industry, like how you make money off of music these days. And like we kind of talked about two things. Like one is like where you do CDs and you have like your CD and it's packaged with the Gap. You know, it's available in Gap retail outlets or at Starbucks. So you get your venti latte and a free CD, you know?
Right.
And
that's so how you get like a co-sponsorship with some mega corporation.
Or then there's like placement where you're like on like a pretty horrible TV show and like they play your song.
On the CW.
Yeah, exactly. And then like it's like, wow, those are like the two options to like to make money playing music.
It doesn't seem fair, does it?
It doesn't seem like that's like at all like something you would really want to do. Like you wouldn't be like, today, you know, I don't know. That just seemed like something you wouldn't want to do. But then, of course, then he gave me the examples of like what they're paying and like what's at stake. And it's like, there's a paycheck and that's hard to say no. But
do you see yourself putting out an email like to all your Rademacher fans? Like, hey, we're on, you know, the Hills tonight.
Yeah, we're going
to
be on the Hills.
We're on Gossip Girls.
Yeah, if we ever said yes, then I feel like I'd be obliged then to like just like pimp myself out even more.
Mm-hmm.
But
once you're in it, you're in it.
Yeah, I think once you turn that corner, like, and you become evil, you might as well just go all out.
And then there's the path of like what it can do to you as a musician yourself. And there's one story which I'm not going to name names or bands, but it's kind of funny.
But his name is Jim, and he's in.
But his name is there's this one dude in this one band once.
Arcade Fire.
A long time ago
that we were hanging out with, and you know they're fairly famous and. There was just, it was just kind of like the epitome of what can go wrong.
Who are you talking about?
I'm not going to tell you. You know.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Coldplay?
Yeah.
We're going to be guessing it for the rest of the show.
Yeah, it was up north. We were up north.
So.
Is that a hint?
We were in Portland.
Portland.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was just, the dude was ordering expensive wine and talking about how he doesn't even care about the $800 bottle of wine. The $600 bottle of wine is just as good. And it was, you know,
it's
just
true.
Like, yeah, no, seriously. And I mean, it was really like,
why
really
were you hanging
depressing.
Out with that dude?
I don't know. You know what? You guys initiated it.
I know. It seems like something you would do.
But, yeah, that's like kind of like one of those like, step back for a second and be like, oh man, this is where it can go. And like,
yeah, we don't want to become jerks.
No,
that's another goal that we have as a career goal. No being jerk.
Yeah. And that man was Bono. Just kidding.
Kidding. It was Phil Spector. Was like, the challenge that you guys are faced with is sort of like you have, there's this mysterious word integrity that people associate with independent musicians. And you don't want to lose your integrity. But at the same time, every option that you're given in terms of making money and making a living off of your music kind of lends itself to losing your integrity. So, like, how do you guys find that happy balance? Are you just going to keep making music and hope that enough people come to your shows and buy your CDs that you can keep making music? Or do you have, like, another, like, a marketing plan?
I think it's, like, drinking.
Just killing the pain?
I don't know. Like, I've been on two sides of the fence with this band. Like, I've been, you know, a friend and a fan, and I'm also in the band now, so I mean I can actually say this since I've seen the other side. Like, I think the way this band does it has been like great. Like, you play, like in November we played what, 20 maybe more shows. I mean, you're right, when it comes to things like figuring out spending time with your family, money, work, and all that stuff, like we played 20 plus shows in November, most of them driving back every night to go to work the next day, leaving work, driving someplace else to go play a show. So, I mean, I don't know. It does get to a point where, like, you just really, really, really want to start getting paid for what you do. Because, I mean, it's exhausting. Like, I think we all kind of got sick, like, literally physically ill after the end of that month.
But so it's got to be worth it in the end. I mean, you guys are, like, highly, highly committed, and you got to have.
We obviously wouldn't have done it. I mean, if it wasn't,
we've got nothing better going.
Pretty much,
We've been stuck, man. I work at a drugstore. No, I've got nothing going.
Yeah, we don't really have lives like that are like at all anything to be proud of except for like this one thing that we do.
I have an awesome dog. Get...
Yeah, I do have a great wife. She's amazing. But yeah.
I don't think she's going to like the fact that you followed that up with what I said.
I don't own a car.
Well, I think she's at work right now. So
that's between you and Blade.
I'm not just a fan. I'm also the drummer. Let's. You want to do another live song?
Oh, yeah. I can do one more.
Yeah, we can do it. I'll do an actual one that's on like a recording. Hopefully I won't mess it up.
Ow!
You okay there? We'll fix that in the mix.
Yeah. All right.
What do you got for us?
This one's called Blank for Fun. It's our jam. This is one that people do actually like.
All right, let's do it.
Heard of it.
One.
In general, you know, maybe not for everybody. Okay, here we go. Playing for fun, and what's won has been won. Well, the bell has been rung, and the banners are hung. So break out your dancing shoes and come out of your igloos. Well, the winter was then, and now it's time to do it all over again. Now if you ask me for reals, then I'll tell you for true that this isn't a game. It is just how we do. And it's not about who is on top, 'cause there's always that drop. Yeah, there's always that drop. And if you ask me, that's no reason to stop. You wanna talk shop, let's talk shop. If you wanna drink, let's drink till we drop. Let's get all that there is to be got, that there is to be had. No, we won't live forever, is that really so bad? Now if you ask me for reals, then I'll tell you for true that this isn't a game. It is just how we do, and it's not about who is on top, 'cause there's always that drop. Yes, there's always that drop. And if you ask me, that's no reason to stop. Everybody. Then I'll tell you for true that this isn't a game. It is just how we do, and it's not about who's on top, 'cause there's always that drop. Yes, there's always that drop.
That was great. That was awesome.
Yeah.
I want a drink now.
Seriously.
It's
your station.
You guys are playing tonight at with the Echo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually, it's cool because they're going to be videotaping it and recording it. And I don't know if it's ever going to come out, but they're definitely going to videotape it and record it, which is actually the same pitch we got for that Bakersfield show. They were like, we're going to film it. It's going to be on cable TV. And then we went down and it was like crazy clown people. And
dude,
like,
Bakersfield.
And like crazy clown people.
And tequila and shrimp.
You guys don't play Bakersfield anymore.
I don't mean to talk shit on it. But yeah, I don't think that I have. And I don't really see too many reasons to go back.
Do you have a big Bakersfield listening audience? Like,
no.
It goes back into
not Bakersfield, California.
Oh. Okay. No, Bakersfield.
Germany.
Germany. Right? Yeah. Okay.
Bakersfield.
Exactly, yeah. They pronounce it different. It's Bakersfeld.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, we're playing that tonight. And it should be fun. Like, the opening band, Wait, Think Fast, is good. And they have, like, DJs and stuff. I've never gone to the Club Underground thing, but it's, like, 18 and over. I think it's like $7 if you're under 21, because you got to pay more because you obviously have more money than the over 21 crowd.
Yeah, it's, what is it? I saw, I can't
Roy
remember
Rogers?
What gig it was, but there was some gig I was looking at today. It was like 28 It was $18 if you're over 21 and $28 if you're under 21 to get into this show. Some
that's
big
your
important
drink
show.
Minimum right there.
Oh, I guess it's to cover the alcohol you're not buying. Yeah. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
All
right. Well,
what
then
if you like instead of that, like if you just kept had a sliding scale for all different age groups? Yeah. Like, you know, if you're a voting age, then like you, then you pay like $7 if you're over 21, and then 25 you can rent a car. So then you gotta you only have to pay $2.
What you never see at these shows is senior citizens getting in free
early bird
that's
special.
What you gotta do.
You know what? I'm gonna start that from now on. I think. Any of our shows above 90, and you're in.
You know what you should also do, just because of it being this band, you should do below a certain height gets in free.
I think we owe it.
I think we're on to something. You owe it to your
songwriters. I was thinking we'd do the opposite and be like, you have to be this tall or else you're
out
not in, man.
To ride this Rademacher.
Yeah, if you can't ride the roller coaster at Great America, whatever, you can't.
Now, you guys have – I was looking at your MySpace page today. You guys have, like, tons of gigs coming up, and they're, like, pretty close together. Do you like to sort of play all the time? Because some bands prefer to play, like, once every 6 weeks so that they can, you know, promote it better. And other bands, they just don't – they feel out of touch if they're not playing at least once a week. I know you guys play a lot, so.
Yeah, we do. I think for the most part, we all do like playing a lot. I think if we're not playing, we get all, like, weird and, like, we
depressed
feel –
depressed and yeah. Easy.
And sloppy.
And sloppy,
yeah. Yeah, because we don't really, like, actually practicing.
So performances are also kind of your rehearsals, huh?
Yeah, I mean we practice. We do. It's just if this, you know, playing under pressure, where I mean, or live, you know, under pressure, like that's something that, you know, tends to keep us a little more on track with each other.
Plus, like, you can make money if you play shows. If you don't play, then you have to pay money to use.
We don't play our hometown, you know, every other night either. Like, that's something that we try and put a little space between, because our friends, you know, as much as they might love us as people, you know, they're gonna get sick of us at some point.
Yeah, we play about the same in LA and San Francisco and Fresno, pretty much like once or twice a month.
Well, let's listen to another track from your CD.
yeah
what do you want to play?
I want to play the last one. That was one. It's about Fresno, so that's where we're from for the most part. Greer's from Hollywood, so.
Letter from Fresno, California. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Rademacher.
From some kind of dream, the kind where the people you see are your friends, but they're totally backwards and they're end over end, caught in a landslide of furious sin. Yes, you're having that dream again. Yes, you're having that dream again. And you fell into this bed head first, eyes wide and drunk in your rock and roll skirt, locked into an evening of longing or worse. Oh, this romantic curse, this forgotten landmine. We were doing so well for such a long time. Yes, we were doing so well for such a long, long time. They don't got a clue. They didn't grow up like me and you. They're all spoiled and well-fed, half wicked and half dead, caught up in the nothings that creep into their heads. And their world is only 3 miles wide, and their world is only 11 miles high. And while I'm drawing these lines in the sand, take a good look at the cards in our hand, 'cause the city is folding and we're in command. If hearts are rent-controlled and they're just real estate, man, let's come up with some kind of plan. Let's come up with some kind of plan. never with the person or quiet in the place that you thought that you wanted to be, that you thought that you wanted to be, that you thought that you wanted to be.
All right, we're back on Is Good on killradio.org. Guys, thanks so much for coming in. Have a kick-ass show tonight.
Thanks so much for having us, John.
Yeah, it was fun, man.
This is a cool spot. Yeah, don't be a stranger, and you know, maybe we'll do some Is Good collaborations. Some, if you guys ever have like a 3-day break when you're not doing a show, we'll organize one.
We got to do like Is Good in Fresno.
Yeah, absolutely. So just remind us all once again, you're playing at the Echo tonight with Wait Think Fast.
Wait Think Fast, and there's going to be DJs and crazy fun, $3 PBR.
This is our CD release too. So
it's our CD release. You can buy CDs there. We'll have lots of them. Greer's going to be
you can
making
use money.
Like apples and cookies for everyone. I guess you don't make apples, but
I am.
I thought so.
We have to go to a store then.
We need to talk.
We need to buy an oven.
Yeah, an easy bake oven.
Can I get a little sense of urgency before we go?
God, guys. Sorry, that was like on the spot. I failed. It's like from the 30s.
That's fantastic. No, it's exactly what I was looking for.
It's urgency.
All right, you've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Rademacher, myspace.com/RADEMACHER, and radradrad.com.
Yeah, you got it.
Third time. And is that which is the place to go to get the most up-to-date info?
Oh, the MySpace is the easiest to get the most up-to-date info, but it's hard to spell, man. So, like, if you go to radradrad.com, you can click on the thing that says MySpace, and it'll take you to our MySpace if you're spelling, you know, like, not like a spelling bee champion.
Right. All right, this will be available for download and podcast from myspace.com/thisisgood and isgoodmusic.com.